Well, there you go, Kevin Barker. That's 3.5 hours of our life we won't get back. 3 hours and 45 minutes, basically. Nice to see Luis Frias being stretched out for the starter's role, though. 13-8, the Texas Rangers staying interested long enough to beat the Toronto Blue Jays. I can't put it any other way. 375 pitches thrown in this game, some of them good. Very few from Chris Bassitt. Almost none from the Blue Jays bullpen, Kevin. That's pretty much the end of the night. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We're here until midnight. Call me up. Ask me a question. I'll give you $1 million. Just kidding. Bo Bichette returned to the lineup tonight, Kevin. Two extra base hits, as if. Two infield hits for Bo Bichette. You mentioned on Blair and Barker that one of the things you would be looking at, because Bo is coming back from a calf injury, was just how, I don't know, how aggressive he'd be with his leg kick or how much he'd use it. I didn't see it. I saw the two-strike approach right from the get-go. Is that, look, it's his first game back. Maybe he's trying to get, you know, trying to get comfortable, get up to speed, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. What did you think from what we saw of him at the plate tonight?
Yeah, I think he's had direction and timing issues all year with the leg kick. I think he wants to get hits. I've said this to you today. You asked me what I was looking for, and I said hits. I don't care to see him. I want to see him get a bunch of hits. Like, that's what Bo does, and I think Bo feels the same way. I think you're killing two birds with one stone, right? You get better direction. You gain confidence because you're having productive at-bats. A productive at-bat for him is getting a hit, and – I think that's what you're saying. I think he cares about his batting average. And, you know,
He's talked about that. He's talked about that 300 means something to him.
Hazel asked him, and he said he's talking to his dad more. Like, you don't think his dad's saying, dude, what are you waiting for? Like, obviously you got this timing issue with your leg kick, and you're coming back from this calf injury. Don't worry about it. Start getting some hits. Have better direction. Keep your hands inside the ball. Think big part of the field. Stop out and around and everything. And for me, I think that's what you're seeing. So I will come up with a better answer because I will have somebody ask for me.
All right.
But I'm assuming that because of the lack of performance that he's had all year, I think he's tired of it. I think he wants to get more hits. So I'm going with that.
Yeah. No, and it's a great point, and something you mentioned, a conversation you had with Bo in spring training. You know, we talk about sort of how old school counting stats don't matter, et cetera, et cetera. You ask Bo Bichette what matters, 300 matters to him. That's
absolutely
that's a mark that he's shooting for. The Blue Jays have lost 13-8 to the Texas Rangers. They have to go 10-1 now the rest of the way to meet Kevin Barker's magic 82-80. That's not happening. 82-80 record for the year. Quite a game.
Well, as the starters throw 9 innings.
There you go. Well, quite a game from the Jays pitchers tonight. 9 walks, 2 hit batters, 2 home runs. A couple of errors were made. There was a strikeout wild pitch. Yeah. The Rangers sent 11 men to the plate in the 4th inning, 9 to the plate in the 8th inning. They are like the Blue Jays, 72-79. If you missed it earlier, a big day for the Blue Jays news-wise. Will Wagner, next year's opening day second baseman, is on the 60-day IL with left knee inflammation. We'll know in a couple of days whether or not he needs surgery. Dalton Varsho, he is having surgery. He's in the 10-day IL with a right rotator cuff injury. He may be ready for spring training, and that certainly presents at least a little bit of an issue for the Blue Jays. And what else happened today? Oh, they claimed a pitcher in waivers. Nick Robertson. Hey, we've got callers. David in Calgary, you're on Blue Jays Talk. I was only kidding about the $1 million, by the way. There's no chance in hell I'm giving anybody $1 million. Although you do have my undying love and respect for calling up, even though it is 9:48 your time.
Hey, Jeff, I've been listening to you since my days in Toronto for many years. So,
I'm sorry. My condolences.
I wasn't counting on the $1 million. I know how you roll.
That's right.
Hey,
I don't roll, I crawl. You know that.
Thanks for having me on, by the way, guys. I want to talk about Chris Bassitt, but first, before I just want to make a comment about Bo Bichette. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I could be less interested in Bo Bichette coming back for the last 10 games. I could care less. I could care less about him recouping his value either in trade or in his contract, and this whole conversation about getting back to 300, and then they mentioned in the broadcast what you guys said, talking more to his dad. Last I checked, I think team game, and I've just colossally soured on Bo Bichette as a Blue Jay and as a team guy. Sure, he's been injured. He's had a tough year, had a tough couple years. But I think he's a very selfish player, and I could care less whether he's back as a Blue Jay or not. I want to talk about Chris Bassitt and this whole evolution of the pitch transponder. I mean, Chris Bassitt, as a veteran, I've enjoyed, you know, his pressers after games and taking responsibility and trying to be a bit of a leader in a really lost year in the clubhouse after games. But I have to tell you, to watch this guy pitch with the transponder, is he the only, and here's my question, is he the only guy on the staff that gets to call his own game? And when I watched Frias in the eighth inning, how many cutters in a row did he throw before he threw a fastball to walk the guy that was low in the zone? Pete Walker was out before that walk. And what would Pete Walker be saying to the guy? And Kirk's calling for a lot of these walks and a lot of these hit batters and a lot of these hits that they're giving up. He's calling the game most of the time. Chris Bassitt's out there calling his, you know, 8 out of his 12 pitches in his repertoire, and he's so frustrating to watch. He's either swing and miss and absolutely unhittable, or he's all over the map. So I'm curious to know, as this sort of pitch transponder thing has evolved, is he the only guy on the staff, and what's the whole game plan with a starter calling his own game when the catcher historically does that? And what do the Blue Jays practice? I find it puzzling to watch him pitch.
I will turn it over to Kevin. Thanks. Thanks for your call. You know, let's keep in mind that what Chris Bassitt is a number three starter. I mean, he's nobody's ace. I don't think anybody. I don't think anybody is under that impression. And Chris Bassitt. I mean, Chris Bassitt is it's a bit of an acid trip when he pitches, to be quite honest. I mean, it's there's sort of, you know, you expect calamity with every pitch. He looks to me like he expects calamity with every pitch. I mean, Kevin used the phrase needy to describe him. I think John Schneider said one time, you look at Chris Bassitt and it's like he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. There's a lot of harumphing and huffing and puffing and eyeball rolling and shoulder rolling. Is he the only guy in the staff that calls his pitches, Kevin?
I don't think he does. I think he only calls his game when it's not working, when the sinker and the cutter's not working and he's got to go something else and he's trying to change up sequencing and he's reading bat paths and he doesn't. Like, I've talked to Petey about that a couple of times. I've talked to Chris about that a couple of times. He tries not to because he tries to get in the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. He wants better pace. He, like the caller mentioned, you got to think, if it's hard to watch, he's hard to play behind. So he wants to keep his defenders somewhat on their toes, and that's why most of the time he does not do that until it looks like it looks tonight. And the two fastballs that he needs to sort of set up everything else and add the trickery part to it is not working, and it doesn't have the little zip at the end that he needs to get you in swing mode. Then he starts pushing the button. He'll start walking around the mound. He starts scratching his head like it's basically like he's pitching left-handed. So, yeah, look, I don't think that's what it is. I've said this to you. When I saw him doing the tape in spring training to quadrants of the strike zone, I said the word needy. It hadn't changed. Like, this is what you get with him. It's either going to be really good, the pace is great, everything's coming out hot, it's going where he wants it to go, or it's going to look like it looks tonight where he's throwing – what he faced, 23 batters, 80 pitches, 3 2/3. Like, it's sort of, they've thrown a lot, man. Like, they've done, mentally, it's been a giant grind for them. Like, yeah. They've done basically everything they could do to try and keep basically a bad bullpen out of the mix. ain't the easiest thing to always do.
And as far as Bo is concerned, look, I think
I think a lot of people feel that way.
I was going to say, I think that, and I think Bo realizes that. One of the comments you heard Bo make is one of the things his dad told him was essentially be quiet and listen. And I think maybe that is a message to Bo, and I mean a very direct message to Bo from his father. But yeah, it's, I mean, look, I think people feel a little differently about Bo Bichette than they did last year.
He can change. You know how you change their mind? Hit.
Yeah,
lots of hit.
This is me.
How many people were down on Vladdy the start of the season?
I will say this. I think it's too late for Bo to change people's mind this year. Like, there's nothing he can do this year to change people's mind. There really
isn't. Probably not, but he can start raking the beginning of next year.
Absolutely.
If he's still here.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Let's take a break, come back on the other side. Ryan and Innisfil, don't go anywhere. Promise you I'll get to you. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he got out of it quickly, but I mean, I do think that his temperament, his work, his attitude, his effort never wavered, you know, and I think that's a big reason why we stuck with him, why I stuck with him, why we have confidence in him, and that's impressive for a young guy who came in, historic debut, fan favorite, everybody loves him, and it's tough to kind of just keep doing what he knows how to do. So you got to give him a lot of credit, but he did. He stayed consistent through a lot of tough times, and it's nice to see him get rewarded a little bit.
Well, there's John Schneider with the silver lining. Davis Schneider homering tonight, leaving little doubt in my mind that he'll probably be the cleanup hitter on opening day. Barker, you're not laughing. 13-8, the Blue Jays losing to the Texas Rangers in the first of three games in Arlington. Come on, it's 11:58. I've been watching 375 pitches worth of baseball tonight. Give me a break. I'm getting a little stir crazy. You're not saying anything. Ryan and Innisfil, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
What's going on, fellas?
Oh, you know, living the dream.
Yeah, amen, brother. I kind of want to hop in on this Chris Bassitt talk a little bit and reel it in. Six of the previous years of his career, his ERA has started with 3. So if he wants to call his pitches, tip his pitches, do whatever he wants with his pitches, let Chris Bassitt do what he does. That guy's a stud. It's not been the greatest year, but it's not been an absolute train wreck either. I trust Chris Bassitt. I'm riding with Chris Bassitt. Second, do you think Chris Bassitt should have finished the inning today? He gave up 7 runs, 1 of them earned. He threw 80 pitches. I know it was the third inning, but, like, leave him in, man. Our bullpen is, like, I don't want to see it anymore at all. I'm so tired of it, man. It was really nice to see the lineup go bang, though, because it gets me excited for next season. I think if the bullpen's addressed and you even add 1 bat and you hope and pray that Bo Bichette becomes half as good as he was, this is a good lineup, and this is a great team. You just fix that bullpen and add 1 bat, even a Brett Rooker. How hard would it be to get him? How hard would it be? How many picks do you think you have? Not picks, sorry. Prospects would you have to get for that? Like, I would get a bat like that and fix the bullpen and maybe spend a little bit of money on 1 more starting pitcher, and you're solid. Yeah, Bassitt walks, and that's all I got for you boys.
Yeah, Ryan, I appreciate the call. I mean, I'm with Ryan in this. I'm kind of. Whatever Chris Bassitt needs to do to float his boat, have at it. I mean, really, Chris Bassitt, I'll put my faith in Chris Bassitt figuring out what he needs to do in any given night. As far as tonight goes, Kevin, I just, at this point of the year, I've got to think that John Schneider and Pete Walker and the Jays training staff, they know their pitchers, they know their people more than we do. And to me, there's no point. If Chris Bassett's on fumes or isn't performing, given what I've made that sucker do for the last 2 years, pitch and short rest, do all this, the stuff I've asked him to do, I'll throw him a life preserver every now and then. And this was one of
the
those
difference
games
is it's not one bad inning. It was multiple bad innings. That's what it was, right? How you had to grind and try and figure out how to get through.
Well,
it's not the easiest thing for an older guy to do.
No, it's also September 17th against a team that's out of the playoffs too. So, I mean,
it's not his fault. The bullpen stinks.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the issues, you know, facing John Schneider, and it's basically faced him since May, and that is you've got to balance the health of your pitchers, the sharpness of your starting pitchers, with the fact that your bullpen is, I mean, it's just been a dumpster fire all year because the front office
punted
in May or whenever the hell it was.
Middle of June,
whenever it all runs
when
together.
When Jimmy Garcia got hurt. So three and a half months with a $235 million payroll.
Right.
You got maybe the worst bullpen in the sport.
You're right.
Am I on to something? There you go.
Sorry, we have a clip from Chris Bassitt. Okay, this is Chris Bassitt talking about his health. Okay, let's play this clip, please.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, health, innings, it's big, obviously. I mean, I obviously give a lot of credit to not just me, but Gauz, to Berrios, where Schneider can basically pencil us in every 5 days. It makes it a lot easier for them, makes it a lot easier for the bullpen, things like that.
That's Chris Bassitt.
What was he talking about?
I have no idea. He was talking about his health, I guess. Had me scared for a minute. Jeez, I thought he was talking about his health.
I thought he's hurt or something. I have no idea what he's talking about.
But I think what he's talking about is the way John Schneider has used him this year. And the realization on the part of the starting pitchers that the bullpen is awful. And this gets to something you've talked about a lot. And it really is true. You know, at some point in the next week, going into the offseason, I really hope the front office sits down and says, you know what, maybe we ought to give them a little bit of help here. You know, these are guys that you know, basically, let's see, in the last 2 years, well, they've had to start on short rest because of the whole Alec Manoah thing. The Jays took their time figuring out what to do with him. All right, this year you had Alec Manoah again at the start of the year. And basically, he spent the entire season or since May with, you know, one third of a major league bullpen. Like, you've asked the starters to do a lot. Like, I mean, I refuse to come on here. If Chris Bassitt stinks, has a stinky start, that's fine. I figure they owe him some stuff. I'll give him a walk on it. But I think that's something people need to keep in mind, is at this stage of the year, the coaching staff, the manager, and the pitching coach, they know more about what's going on with these guys than we do.
Yeah, I think they have a model with their team and their guys. And do you have faith that they're going to give the pitching staff, the three guys at the top of the rotation, help enough that it matters? Like,
by the way, just before he run, Leo Jimenez was hit by a pitch today for the 14th time in 54 games. This is from Sportsnet Stats. By comparison, Danny Jansen was hit 13 times in 611 plate appearances since 2023. So there you go. Leo Jimenez, the modern-day Ron Hunt. 13-8, the Jays have lost to the Texas Rangers. The good news is they get to do it all over again tomorrow, and so do we. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Elliott Lake and Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.